Whale. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Hi, Bob. How are we doing?
Well, pretty good.
Well, we were just going to be talking about what's going on financially, and certainly there's a lot of trouble over in Europe, in Iceland, why members of parliament had to actually hide from the crowds there that really wanted to lynch them because of the mess that they've made out of Ireland's economy. Certainly they were borrowing money. The Icelanders were living so well there for a number of years, all on borrowed money, and then when the whole house of cards came down, why, the people were furious. But, of course, it enjoyed the good times. But whether you live on debt, why, eventually you have to pay your debts back. This is what the people of Greece are finding, and the people of Portugal and Spain and Italy are finding. If you keep borrowing money, pretty soon they've got to cut back on the living standards, and this is going on here in America. Certainly, we've been living very well. We have massive debts. We have massive deficits. And now Social Security is bankrupt. We have to borrow money to pay our Social Security benefits to all the people who out there, 58 million Americans, are receiving Social Security now, and another 74, 75 million will get it within the next 20 years, and the baby boomers retire, and then of course we've got Medicare. Well, it's bankrupt too. It's a Ponzi scheme, and we put Bernie Madoff in prison for a Ponzi scheme, but of course our congressmen, we call them honorable, and we let them retire with fancy salaries and fancy health benefits for running a Ponzi scheme. Well, Bob, where are we going next? What's going to happen?
Well, I'm rather surprised this tremendous outpouring of people throughout Europe. You know, when you have 3 million people turn out in France, you know, marching, I mean, that's an incredible amount of people. And, you know, what's surprising is that in France, and I say this straight up, not in jest, what is the big difference between retiring at 60 or 62? And that was the reason for the, I guess, the general reason for the French demonstrations. But they happened all over Europe. And, of course, most of the marching has been and demonstrating has been blocked out of the media in the United States, so the American people don't get to see what's going on. Fortunately, we can access the European sources of news, and that's how we see it. But most people don't realize that throughout Europe, people are disturbed. And some countries, probably like Ireland, that are just, you know, ready to explode. They've been in an austerity program for 2 years, and they're closer to bankruptcy now than they were before.
Well, apparently in Ireland, why, they're putting off a lot of money out to bail out the Irish banks. And so the bank is going to do fine, but they're going to be paid for by the Irish people. And they're not too happy about all that money being put out. I owe to actually fund the banks that created the problem, and they're smart enough over there to realize the banks are behind everything going on. People here in America don't understand. They don't understand this is a collusion of the banks throughout the world. If you haven't read my little pamphlet on the history of money, you need to get it. It's available through Radio Liberty, and we simply quote Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, as saying, the banks hold secret meetings, the central banks, where they plan on how to create this feudal society. Those are his words, not mine. You better find out what's really going on, ladies and gentlemen. And the bankers control the government. Well, you go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I guess the next question is, when are demonstrations going to start in the United States. And, you know, they've never been much for demonstrating on economic issues. And, I found that surprising in the past. But I think we're going to start to get some of that. And I think it'll be triggered probably by unemployment. And that will probably happen further on next year or the year after. But it's coming.
But as long as the government keeps playing our generous unemployment benefits, give you half of your money for not working, who'd want to work when you can get half of your salary for not working, and you get food stamps, you get housing supplements, you get onto Medicare, free medical care through Medicaid. I mean, as long as they keep providing all these benefits, people aren't going to be upset. It's only if they didn't have the benefits and they really had to go out and look for a job, why there'd be an outcry. We say, well, nobody wants to work out in the fields. Of course nobody'd want to work in the fields. The Mexican workers wouldn't want to work in the fields if they weren't getting paid twice what they'd get paid in Mexico. And Americans would work in the fields if they weren't getting all the benefits. They call it the safety net. I remember working in the fields when I was 12 years old, and it was hot, dry, dirty work. But I did it, and if I could do it when 12, I think an awful lot of Americans could do it if they wanted to. But why should they work when the government will provide for them?
Well, I think you're right. They call it the social safety net. And we get Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, and, as you mentioned, unemployment. And we didn't have those things in the 1930s. But yet, the situation today is as bad, if not worse, than it was then. And I think if you were to mentally remove the cost that those things amount to, then I think probably you'd find that unemployment and other problems should be probably in a par with what was going on in that time. And that would probably be 30 or 35% unemployment already. And you'd have to do a study on that. And that's not an easy one to just guess at. But it would be worse today than what we had in the 1930s now.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, Dr. Stan and Bob is saying that really probably if it weren't for the safety net that we have out there with all the people getting unemployment, most people getting unemployment and food stamps and housing supplements and free medical care and all the other goodies that we offer here in this society, if it weren't for that, an awful lot of people would be very unhappy. But, I mean, we have a lot of unemployed people, and some of them really do want to get a job. They don't like being on unemployment, but there are a lot of them, well, they could make almost as much on unemployment with all the other goodies as they would working. So why should they work? And unfortunately, this is going to continue until the government runs out of money, can't keep providing for the people, and if they do, why they're going to have to destroy the currency and destroy the life savings of the people who are working and have worked all of their lives to accumulate a nest egg for retirement. Because Social Security is running out of money. They're going to have to decrease the amount of money that they're paying. They're going to have to raise the age of retirement. And they're going to have to increase the amount of money that people pay in. And they're already paying in with their employer a 15%. They're really going to have to get this up, according to some figures, within 20 years, about 80% of all the money that every American makes is going to have to go into funding Medicare and Social Security. And then they're going to have to figure out how they're going to fund the military and all the other things government does. But you pick up the story, Bob.
Well, I think most Americans haven't even heard that yet, and that is really an astounding thing for most people, especially people who are already retired. They probably will have to do with less. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't cut back on benefits and or go to the income stream, and the income stream would would disqualify people who made over a certain amount of money each year, and what that number might be, I don't know, but probably, knowing Washington for starters, they'd probably say $100,000 a year, and then in time they'd probably bring it down to a lower number.
Well, if they do that, people will find a way around it. This is the way things are. They'll suddenly pay their children to manage their property, so they'll get less than $100,000 a year, and then they'll suddenly qualify for Social Security. Whatever government tries to do things that are unfair, people will always respond. It's just human nature, and because everybody hates taxes, and everybody hates to have the government steal what people feel they're entitled to. The trouble is, under the Constitution, they're not entitled to Social Security. They're not entitled to Medicare. People say, oh, well, we want to be free. But people have accepted these socialistic programs. We have more socialism in America today than they ever had in the Soviet Union as far as social benefits. Go right ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I don't think people for a second realize that this myriad group of things that have developed since the 1930s used essentially just for the safety net, as it's called. And one of the things that it does as well that people don't talk about is the other side of the coin, and that is, how does this affect business? Well, as you go on, you have this regulations that businesses have to apply to and do, and then you have the additional costs from the things that government created, you know, the situation goes on and on, and it makes it very difficult for businesses to invest, especially when they don't know if taxation is going to be higher, if regulations are going to get worse, and then the situation in the economy itself. I mean, today, people say in business, well, gee, why should I take an extra loan to expand when I don't know what these things are going to be 6 months from now? That would be having confidence and faith in an administration. And this administration certainly doesn't instill faith in the future or what's presently going on, nor did the last two. It just seems to get progressively worse, and the programs are relatively the same. There are differences, but...
But they're really all, they're all nominal. They're apparent, you know. The same people are in charge of the Obama administration. They're in charge of the Bush administration. The Trilateral Commission controls both political parties, and certainly every president and or vice president from 77 to 1977 to 2000, every president. And or vice president came from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. Nobody will tell the American people that. They control both political parties, and it simply is all political theater. The supposed difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, or maybe on a few minor issues there may be differences, but certainly the Republicans are not pro-life when they were in charge. They control both houses of Congress, and they control the presidency. They could have ended simply abortion on demand, at least as far as the federal government, simply by a majority vote. They never tried to do it. It's all showbiz. I mean, you got to convince the American people that one party stands for something and the other party stands for the opposite. And the truth of the matter is, they're both heading the same direction towards a one-world government, towards an amoral or immoral society. And, of course, for moving to lower progressively the living standards of the American people. But they can't let the American people know that's the real goal. Otherwise, they'd be upset. Most people don't want to have lower living standards. But from the elitist point of view, why should the average American live so much better than the people in Africa? Wouldn't it be fair just to have equitable distribution of wealth between nations? Go right ahead.
Well, that's what they're trying to accomplish. And one of the ways that, one of the very, very important ways that people don't realize is this free trade, globalization, offshoring and outsourcing. And it takes American jobs, jobs that fulfilled original jobs, probably pay instead of $30 an hour, maybe $14 an hour. At the same time, the jobs that leave go, you might say, to the second and the third world, and their standard of living rises. It's a simple redistribution of wealth.
And I think people have to understand they've intentionally set offshore our steel industry, our textile industry, our electronic industry, our automotive industry. Now we're in the process of outsourcing our agricultural industry. Certainly China is today the leading garlic manufacturer in the world, grower in the world. And now that they've destroyed the economy of the Central Valley, they're not concerned about the three-inch melt. They want to destroy the agriculture of the Central Valley of California because it's the richest source of certainly of our agricultural exports. They want, of course, those things produced in other countries. This is what it's all about. And the average American, they're saying, well, it's ridiculous, you know, with this three-inch smelt to cut off water to the Central Valley of California and destroy the economy there, where some cities, municipalities, communities are 20% unemployment, 30% unemployment, one community with 40% unemployment. But the average American finds it impossible to believe. It's all done on purpose. They know exactly what they're doing. They want to destroy our agricultural exports from that part of the world. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And as we destroy our industries, we build them out and finance them throughout the world. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Do you have a question or comment for our special guest, Bob Chapman? Well, Bob, certainly gold and silver have been really rather phenomenal here in the last month or so. There's some stories that certainly that there are a group of Chinese and Arabs who are actually taking delivery on the gold commodity contracts, and there isn't enough gold there, and that's the reason that gold and silver have been going up. The sellers, people in the commodity market have gotten caught in a short squeeze. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, I think there is. I do think that there is a lot of gold and silver being taken delivery of. Exactly who is taking delivery remains to be seen. I don't think people who are taking delivery want it broadcast. The reason why is that, especially with gold, it upsets the U.S. government. And, of course, J.P. Morgan Chase and HSBC are net short probably about 42% of the outstanding short position in silver. And so, and Morgan is the largest owner of the Federal Reserve, so I don't think that goes down very well when silver trades at a level that they don't want it to, and that is close to $222 an ounce. And you can see the U.S. government in both markets every day trying to knock them down. Sometimes you see it during the course of our day, but if you look at it like I do from 4:30 in the morning, you see the attempts there to try to set the prices lower for the New York opening.
And you're talking about the foreign markets, so they're trying to manipulate the foreign markets. And, ladies and gentlemen, it's illegal to manipulate the markets unless you're the government. And according to the Working Group on Financial Markets, it's not imaginary, it's real. The Working Group on Financial Markets manipulates the commodity markets, manipulates gold and silver, manipulates the stock market. But you can't tell the American people that. You can't let them know. Go up on the Internet. Fortunately, they're not able to control that, at least not yet. And you'll find out that they call it the Plunge Protection Team or the Working Group on Financial Markets. It manipulates the markets. It's a sucker's game, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want to be a sucker? Our name, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, if you have a question for Bob. Well, you think that the average American understands that the markets are manipulated, Bob? What about the average European? Do they understand that they're crooked?
I think that...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Going behind every single month, even though they may get interest on it, the value of the bond is being destroyed by the inflation. And somebody once said certainly that bonds are certificates of guaranteed confiscation, and we're moving into that problem today. In the past, they've been a pretty good conservative investment, but that was when we had a stable currency. Everything has changed now. So you go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I don't think anybody ever envisioned bonds paying as little as they do, or to let's call them treasury paper to make it easy. And there is a possibility in the 10-year note closed today at 2.48%, there is a possibility that rate could drop another point. And, you know, that would really surprise people. And it would also bring down the mortgages a point from, let's say, from 4 3/8 to 3 3/8. And so, you know, that's possible. And in fact, it's probable the Fed Reserve will do anything that they can to try to keep money as cheap as possible. And of course, when it's as cheap as possible, it creates inflation. And also, you have the Federal Reserve creating money out of thin air for other things. And as you go along, inflation gets greater and greater. I think by the end of next year, real inflation will probably be around 14%, and probably higher the following year if they have two programs of about $2.5 trillion each over the next 2 years.
And what you're really talking about is the Federal Reserve pouring money at a couple of trillion dollars a year, $2.5 trillion a year, to try to keep the economy going. The only reason, of course, that the GDP was up in the first quarter of this year, it was up about 3.6%. In the second quarter, it was up 1.5% to 1.6%. In other words, the GDP is falling. Why is it falling? Well, because the influence of all this money they poured into the economy is beginning to dissipate. So now, what do you do? Well, you could let the thing collapse, and we can go into a depression and get this over, or they can prolong it by simply pouring more money in. But in the end, why were you not the ultimate price we're going to have to pay is going to be far worse. There's going to be far more devastation. Far more people are going to lose their homes. Far more people are going to lose their jobs. And, of course, in the process, they'll destroy the value of the monetary system. And there's no better way to destroy a nation, if you wanted to destroy a nation, than to destroy the monetary system. And that is exactly what they're doing. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And just listen to what the people in China, in Brazil, and other countries are saying about the dollar. They're very concerned that the dollar is going to continue to lose value and, of course, will very soon no longer be the reserve currency, which means that all those dollars that we've exported out through the years, you know, that we've been able to export our inflation to other people, but now those dollars will come home to haunt us. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, that's been in process for a long time. And what the Fed has been doing for at least the last year and a half has been, that they will recognize that they have been doing, is spending money to prop up the economy. And we explained that in part with the bond market. And now, as you've said and I said, we're going to see a couple more years of this. And it's not accomplishing anything. I mean, the only people that were bailed out were the lenders and the banks and the Wall Street types and insurance companies. And when you have a situation like that, you have a populace that is extraordinarily disturbed about what's going on. And that, of course, in time could, if unemployment continues to move higher, then, as we discussed earlier, you can have demonstrations and riots.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The people are really doing fairly well today. Other people who've gotten into the hedge funds, there's certainly several of the large hedge funds. One of them, Paulson, they made billions of dollars when the economy collapsed a few years ago. What are they in now? They're in gold and gold-related assets, and we'll be back in just a moment here. And they're doing very well. Let us all. Well, Bob certainly has. Paulson's doing pretty well. That hedge fund is doing pretty well, aren't they, at least on their gold investments?
It is. They've made some mistakes in other places, but yes, they are doing well, and that's part of the reason. And it's surprising that more institutions are not following their lead and going into that area. I imagine there are other institutions we just don't hear about, don't have the visibility that they have, that are doing it. Their call on the real estate market and shorting, betting they were going to go down, and that would be the MBS or the CDOs, which are the collateralized debt obligations, which were bonds which were comprised of mortgages, which were not worth the ratings that they had been given. And I think other people recognize that besides them, but not many. And one of the main writers of that kind of paper was Goldman Sachs, and they were short as well and made a great deal of money. We advocated short positions, and we were right as well. In fact, we told everybody that could to leave the market and sell their homes and commercial buildings, and many, many of them did. And we still get letters every day from people who did that and took the money, went long gold and silver, related assets. And so far, they're sitting very pretty. And I think that we've only just begun to see the great upward movement in gold and silver. And I think those who are involved will be able to at least keep their assets together, and they may make a great deal of money.
Well, that thought, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And if you have a question for Bob, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Now, certainly, we were talking about Paulson. It's a hedge fund, P-A-U-L-S-O-N. It has nothing to do with Henry Paulson, and I believe both Paulson and PIPCO. They're two of the major hedge funds that made countless billions of dollars on the collapse of the housing market. And of course, the reason that they knew it was going to happen is because they hired a man named Alan Greenspan as their consultant. He had an exclusive contract with those hedge funds and told them what was going to happen. He kept saying, "Well, nobody could have figured out what was going to happen." He knew it was going to happen. He told them what to do. They did it, and of course, they made out fat. I mean, we're talking about $10-15 billion, you know, for each one of those major hedge funds. And now, at least Paulson is in gold. Now, is PIMCO in gold as well?
No, I don't think they are.
Our release Paulson is in gold, and they're doing very, very well. And certainly, gold is, of course, doing very well because the central banks have really cut back dramatically on selling it. Alan Greenspan, in recent testimony, said, "I don't understand why." But when times are difficult, when people feel uncertain, they always turn to gold. Well, I don't know how he could make that statement, because you go back and you read his essay, Gold and Freedom. It was written back in 1966, and you get it on the Internet. Just type in Alan Greenspan, 1966, Gold and Freedom. And he says, you know, certainly other people in the welfare state don't want you to have gold. Gold is the only means you have of protecting your assets. He wrote this in 1966. Recently, when Congressman Ron Paul asked Alan Greenspan to autograph a copy of that essay, Greenspan did. And then Congressman Paul said with tongue-in-cheek, "Well, of course, Mr. Chairman," because at that time he was the chairman of the Federal Reserve, "certainly you'd like to repudiate this article, now that the Fed is certainly done away with gold as a medium of exchange. And Alan Greenspan said, I recently reread the article. I wouldn't change one word of it. Go back and read what he said. He understands what's going on today. And, of course, he's the architect of the collapse of the economy. Now, if you have a question for Bob Chapman, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But, Bob, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get a copy of your newsletter and why they should subscribe to it?
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, social and political issues all over the world. And the reason to subscribe is that everything that you need to know every week is in that publication. You can get a free introductory copy by going to our site, theinternationalforecaster.com. That's theinternational, FORECASTER.com. We publish by email Wednesdays and Saturdays, runs around 40 pages each time, and we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. You can also go to www.INTFORECASTER. That would be intforecaster.com. For those of you who would like to ask a question, our email address is bob@intforecaster.com. bob@intforecaster.com. Or you can call toll free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Well, now it certainly looks like that China and probably Brazil and a couple of the other countries are already considering tying their currency to a basket of currencies, which would mean the dollar would no longer be the reserve currency of the world. We hear some remarks that sometime next year they're going to do that. Do you think there's any truth to that, or is that just a rumor?
No, I think they're serious about it. The Chinese would like to become the number one country in the world, as would Russia. The Eurozone and the European Union as well, they have tried to put themselves in that position, and it didn't work well for them. You see all the turmoil recently. But I think that China and Russia are going to have more problems as well. There is no currency in the world that really can be a world reserve currency. And the reason for that is that there's no backing on any of them. They're all fiat. They're all funny money, if you may. And any government at any time can create as much as they want of it. Or group of governments, for that matter. So it has to be backed. There are people that say, well, we can issue U.S. notes, full faith and credit of the United States government, get rid of the Federal Reserve, and that'll work to an extent. But you've got to have backing on a currency, and whether it's commodities or gold and silver, whatever. I recently read a letter today concerning this sort of thing, and, you know, the comment was, and this man who wrote is a good economist, but he just doesn't understand. And he said, well, we may as well use coal or steel or copper and so on. But he knows darn right well that the ability to mine those sort of things is far easier than it is to find gold and silver in diminishing in amounts each year. And so what makes gold and silver attractive is the limited opportunity to be able to mine it and accumulate it. And I can't understand why people don't get it.
Well, it seems very easy, Bob. Look, if we want to be wealthy, what we do is just we print more money, and then everybody's wealthy, and there's lots more money to go around. And it sounds great, and initially it works very well. The only trouble is if you don't have a limitation on the amount of money that's out there, why then the money that's out there progressively loses value as you print more money. And the average individual doesn't understand. All these ideas have been tried over and over again. They said, look, if the government would just act responsibly and would limit the amount of money going out there, would simply increase the amount of money as we built new roads and bridges and all these things, and it sounds great. But the reality is, when are you going to get government to act responsibly? Is our current government acting responsibly? Did the Bush administration act responsibly? Did the Clinton administration act responsibly? Did the Reagan administration act responsibly? They gave us the largest fiscal deficits we'd ever had up till that time. Now, compared with Obama, why, they're pikers, but they were making a deficit of $200 billion a year. We'd never seen anything like that. Obama managed to get $1.3 trillion in a year. I mean, he's the champion of all time. But governments never act responsibly because they're made up of human beings. That's why our founding fathers did not trust men with the responsibility to govern others. They wanted to limit the power of government, and they wanted a currency that was limited so it could not be expanded and do exactly what is happening today. Would that be a fair appraisal, Bob?
I think it certainly is, and I get letters all the time from people saying, well, we don't need gold backing, and besides, most of the gold is held by what we consider the enemy, which is the bankers, international bankers, and the brokerage industries, the insurance industries, and things like that. And that's all well and good, but how do they know what they own? They don't. I mean, I've been doing this over 50 years, and I got a guess at it. What percentage of all the gold that's above the earth belongs to these people? And my guess is that 20 to 30% at the outside, and that's an imperfect figure. And so what if they own 20 or 30%? They obviously recognize what you and I do, and many of the listeners do, and you can't disqualify a system of backing currency simply because somebody or some group of people that you don't like, who don't like you at all either, happen to have some of it. It makes no sense whatsoever. And so, as you say, the proclivity is for people within government and people in groups like the Federal Reserve, that privately owned corporation, they can't be trusted not to continue to create money hand over fist. And they do it every time. Go back to the beginnings of the use of paper currency. And they even did it in ancient times by clipping coins. And most people know about that, particularly silver coins. And so you've got to have backing in the currency. It just won't work.
And I think you're absolutely right. The difficulty is that people don't understand that the current financial contraction is all engineered. How is it engineered? People say nobody could do that. Yes, they could. I mean, they've done it time and time again. Read about the panic of 1907. Why did it come about? Why? Because the banks stopped lending money and they called it their loans. Why did we have the financial contraction in 1929? Because the banks they increased the reserve requirements. The banks had to call in their loans. Why did we have the banking crisis in the 1890s? For exactly the same reason. And in the 1870s and in 1837 and 1839, the banks limited their loaning. And what are the banks doing now? Why, the banks have lots of money, and they're investing it in hedge funds, and they're investing it in the stock market, but they're not lending it out. Why? Because they want to contract the economy. They want to pick up all the commercial developments out there that are head over heels in debt, and of course this is how they can pick up homes and property and farms and businesses. And this is the redistribution from weak hands to strong hands, from the people foolish enough to go into debt. And then when the time comes to pay off the debts, there's no money available, and you can't borrow money, and you lose. This is the way the game is constructed, arranged. Oh, they win, we lose. This is why they want a fiat money system, which is based upon a fractional reserve banking system where the banks can create money out of nothing, leverage their investment 10, 20, 30, 40 times with the large investment banks, create that money, charge you interest on it, and then take your home or your farm or your business if you can't pay off the loan. That's the way the system works. Bob, people just can't believe that this is being done intentionally.
Well, they don't even understand that the banks have a license to steal. It's only within the past 15 or 20 years that we've been able to reach large numbers of people throughout the world to tell them the real functions of banking and, you know, the ability they have to control economies, whole economies, sometimes the world economy. And they are catching on. That information is finally getting to the public. And, of course, the enemy, so to speak, is very upset about the fact that people are learning that there is something that the banks are doing that they really shouldn't be doing.
Well, what the banks are for is to lend money to stimulate the economy. You need to expand the money supply to have a vibrant and healthy economy. But when the banks intentionally withhold loans, I mean, certainly they were given the TARP funds, you know, supposedly to reliquify the banks. And what did they do? Why, they lent the money to China and to Dubai and to India and into Spain, but they didn't lend any money here in the United States. Why? Because they wanted to cripple our economy. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. Go back and read the letters that we wrote, you know, when back there in October, November, December, certainly of the year 2008. And we told you exactly how they did it and the fraud of the TARP legislation. Call our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Bob, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Bob, somebody had called in and asked, but when do we sell the gold and silver? Certainly, they can't keep going up indefinitely. There's going to be a time when we'll want to sell our gold and silver. How will we know when that time comes?
Well, that's why people subscribe to the International Forecaster, and hopefully we will have a handle on when to sell, if ever. We don't know how things are going to turn out. We can guess at it. Myself, I can guess at it too, but nobody knows. I mean, today you have CNBC and CNN and Bloomberg screaming from the rooftops, it's a craze, it's a bubble, it's the end of the run in gold, and so on and so forth. We heard the same foolishness at $1,000, at $850. And what people don't realize, if you use official inflation since 1980, when gold previously hit its high of $850 an ounce, you'll find it should be selling around $2,400 an ounce. And, of course, those figures are bogus. The real figure would have gold selling at $7,700 an ounce. And so gold's got a long way. It's just that the paid stooges and puppets that we see on television, they have a reason for doing and saying what they do, and that is they get paid for it. It's pretty simple.
Well, my understanding is that Richard Russell has commented on this, and Richard Russell's been around ever since I can remember. I thought he was an old man back in about 1960, 1965. What's Russell say about the gold?
He says, first of all, that the stock market on the Dow Jones Industrial Average will eventually go to 1,000. And he says, we're on our way there now. It's only a matter of when the market breaks. And he alludes to speaks about the manipulation of the market. And he also feels, as I do, that the only way to protect your assets is to be in gold. And Richard Russell has never been a giant advocate of gold and silver. He's been a proponent of what they call the Tao theory. And when certain things happen in the scheme of the market, what he does is, by using this theory, tells people when to buy and sell stocks or bonds and things like that. So he's never been an ardent gold bug.
Hold that thought, but Richard Russell recently told all of his supporters, get out of the stock market, sell everything, and get in gold and silver. A totally new approach, but I think one we should heed. Well, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I think people should heed Richard Russell, who has really not been in that camp, so to speak.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Actually voted on. It was simply came as part of a directive. Same thing with the Department of Education. They were all created by executive orders. It's about time we got rid of them, got rid of executive orders, got back to our Constitution. Bob Chapman, thanks very much. Please keep in touch. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, and we hope you're feeling lots better by then.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. If you'd like to help us, why, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our newsletter. Our telephone number is 1-888-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Now, we do hope, of course, many of you are going to be coming to our all-day seminar. It's a week from, 2 weeks from yesterday. It's on the 17th of October. A week from this coming Sunday, it's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, as we always do, and we should have an excellent turnout. We're going to have Dr. Paul Williams, Dr. David Ayoub will be speaking, Sergeant Richard Mack will be there, Michael Shaw, and you'll learn a great deal about what's going on in the world today. And, of course, you're going to need reservations because we're having lunch, we're serving lunch and coffee and all sorts of cookies and all sorts of goodies we always do. Hope you can come. Again, a number to make your reservation, and it's going to have to be made this week or certainly by next Monday, because we have to let them know next Tuesday how many people are coming. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, I want you to know we are carrying, got some books back. We have not been carrying for some time. Scarlet and the Beast has been selling on Amazon for $175. It's less than a quarter of that, less than a third of that at Radio Liberty now. It's an excellent summary of the Masonic influence and, of course, their goal of the coming one world government. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen, the fulfillment of Nimrod's ancient plan for a one world government. And Nimrod was a prototype of the Antichrist, and God intervened and sent the tribes throughout the world, dispersed them. But there's always been this goal to bring about the one world government for 4,400 years. 4,400 years, well, 4,200 years since the time of Nimrod, this effort to bring about the world government. So this is the common denominator behind everything going on today. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to go to our webpage and certainly watch our DVDs and read our newsletters. They're there, and many other things on the occult symbols. They hide the occult symbols in plain sight. You see them every day. You don't recognize them. Go to our website, look at them, and understand what is really going on. We are also carrying the book Fire in the Minds of Men, written by James H. Billington, the Librarian of Congress, the Librarian of Congress. It's all about secret societies, and we haven't been able to get the book for some time, but we're carrying it now. You need to see the DVD, The Invisible Empire, put out by Alex Jones. He does an excellent job there. And you'll actually hear President Kennedy's speech on secret societies and how we must oppose them, how we must oppose the secret societies. And, of course, it's very, very dangerous to oppose the secret societies, and it can cost you your life. And I've been to the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a front for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891. How do I know that? Well, Professor Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, says that on page 951 and 952 of his book, Tragedy and Hope. The book was suppressed for many years, but you can get that from Radio Liberty by itself or as part of the Radio Liberty special. So these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, you can call there to make your reservations for our all-day seminar. And then please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Cam Cavasso. That's Cam Cavasso. He's running over there and in Hawaii, the island of Hawaii. Now, hi, Cam. How are you doing?
Dr. Stanley, I'm doing wonderfully well. Thank you.
Well, now tell me, what position are you running for? Are you running for state senate, U.S. senate, or what?
I'm running for the United States Senate.
All right. And who are you running against?
Against Daniel Inouye.
Okay, fine. And Chris, he's been around since the day one. He's part of the establishment. He, in fact, we have him back in 1986, I think, at the Iran-Contra hearings, interrupting Congressman Jack Brooks repeatedly, because Congressman Brooks wanted to bring out that there is a plan, in case of a national emergency, to suspend the Constitution and certainly impose martial law. We actually have that footage. Have you ever seen that, Cam?
I have not seen that exact footage, but I've seen footage of those Contra hearings.
And basically, of course, Inouye was very instrumental in that. And the last thing that he wants the American people to know is there is a plan to establish a dictatorship in America. It was here in 88. It's still here, and he's part and parcel of the problem. Well, certainly, how is the campaign going?
Well, Dr. Stanley, it's we are running hard. We are having difficulties with the support from the traditional press, from the traditional politicians. We have newspapers and televisions that refuse to cover this race.
And I bet you're not getting much help from the Republican Party, are you?
We're not.
And, of course, the thing is, people have to understand the Republican Party doesn't want anybody, of course, who would defeat Inouye, or what I always call him Inouye, but you, the senator, who's been there, what, he's been there, what, 30 years or so?
He's been in the U.S. Congress for 51 years.
All right, fine. But the Republican Party really doesn't want to get rid of their Democratic opponents. They're not going to help any senator who may very well, of course, not go along with their system. And you certainly are going to be an independent if you're back there, aren't you, representing the American people rather than the Republican Party?
Well, Dr. Stanley, I won't go so far as to say that the Republican Party would not be pleased if Dan Inouye were defeated. They would be glad to see him go. But their efforts are going toward those who are more traditional in the Republican Party, who run traditional campaigns, who have the money backing and the backing of the nation. In Hawaii, frankly, Dan Inouye is considered to be untouchable. He's not. And we can cover some of those reasons during this meeting.
All right,
but
fine. Well, basically,
he is defeatable.
Well, basically, of course, you can't defeat him if you can't get the money. You can't get the money if you can't defeat him. And they set up a situation where they can justify not helping people. You would think they would help everybody who wanted to, even the smallest chance of defeating somebody as disreputable as the senator you're opposing. But they're not going to. Well, when we get back in just a moment, I want you to tell us how you feel about the things that are going on and why people would want to vote for you rather than for somebody who's been in Congress for some 50 years and responsible for most of the problems we have today.
Good.
All right, what are your basic platforms? What are you running on?
I'm a pro-life, pro-family, pro-marriage person who loves the Lord. I'm a businessman, a former Army captain, served 5 years on active duty with the Army. Had my first business when I was 14. So we, as a nation, are driving ourselves into untenable debt.
All right, now, are you running as a Republican? Are you the Republican senatorial candidate?
I am the Republican senatorial candidate.
Okay,
I won the Republican primary with the help of Tea Party and other Republicans here in Hawaii.
All right, fine. I'm sure the Republicans back in Washington, D.C. hate that because they want to pick the candidates who will be go right along with their agenda. So basically then you're a pro-life candidate, strongly pro-life, and I know you're coming from a Christian background. So basically, what are the other issues that you are standing on?
The economy is being run amok. Dan Inouye is chairman of the Appropriations Committee under Obama and has driven our debt up since he took over as Appropriations Chairman, has driven our debt up 50%. That works out to be about $50,000 per family across the nation. We're putting ourselves into a place of debt and danger that will cause us problems with our enemy. We are in debt to China. Who knows where we're going with Iran and those countries that are putting us in the problem with oil. So the economy is the biggest threat outside of the moral issues in this nation. And I would actually say that economic debt is a moral issue as well. What we're doing to ourselves is wrong.
All right. Well, now, what then is the solution to the economic problems we face today?
First, we should be balancing our budget. We should pass the balanced budget amendment. We should reverse what we've done with TARP. We should reverse what we've done with the health care bill. Fortunately, there are so many parts of it that are unconstitutional that I believe that we will be able to reverse that immediately with the new Congress and start over. We must control our spending. We must discipline ourselves to live within our means. We expect families and businesses to do that. Why not government?
All right, fine. Well, our guest, of course, is Cam Cavasso, and he is the Republican candidate for the United States Senate, running, of course, against Senator Inouye, and we'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan, and how do you pronounce the name of the senator that you're running against?
Daniel Inouye.
Inouye. I've always called him Inouye, but Inouye. Inouye. Okay. Well, basically, of course, Cam is pro-life, but he thinks that the biggest problem is certainly the debt, and he thinks we ought to balance our budget. But how could we possibly balance our budget? I mean, certainly Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. It's bankrupt. Medicare is a Ponzi scheme. It's bankrupt. They're putting out more money than's coming in. Certainly when that happened with Bernie Madoff, we put him in prison. When it happens to the United States government, why, of course, they just go out and borrow money, and that's part of where the $4 to $5 billion we're borrowing every day has to go. We have a deficit this one year, between $1.3 and $1.4 trillion. And, of course, the year ended on the 30th of September. But let's say it's only $1.3 trillion deficit in 1 year. And certainly it took us 100 years from 1789 until the year 1980 to run up $1 trillion in debt. And President Obama's managed to run up a $1.3 trillion in 1 year. It took 200 years to run up $1 trillion. And now we've got to the point we can increase the debt $1.3 trillion in just 1 year. But how are we going to balance that? I mean, what are we going to do with Social Security and Medicare? What are we going to do with all the government grants for education? What are we going to do as far as government grants for unemployment insurance? You mentioned the TARP. Do away with TARP, but TARP's just about done away with. It's supposed to retire soon. I think they're about $65 billion that the banks owe. Of course, they never talk about all the money that we gave to General Motors, all the money we gave to AIG, we're never going to get back. It's amazing how they just sort of totally ignore that. Well, we've got all that stock in General Motors. As soon as people buy General Motors stock, who's going to buy General Motors stock? And then they say, well, we're going to sell AIG stock. Who's going to buy AIG stock? They lose money every year. So we got real problems with TARP, don't we? How are we going to get out of that mess?
Dr. Stanley, we are creative people. And we have always been a creative people. And when we become dependent on government, trap our people with welfare, Social Security, and the social programs that we're putting in, we are destroying our own incentives. When we set our people free to be creative, they make the jobs, they make new industries. Let's get back to the place where we are people who depend on free enterprise, depend on initiative. Yes, we need to take care of the widows and orphans and those who cannot take care of themselves. But we need to be a people, again, who stand on our own, who, and a government that does not tax us and discourage businesses and families from stepping out to make things happen. Donald, during the Reagan years, they withdrew and pulled back on the government programs, on the taxation, and America prospered. It came back. It can do so again. If we'll turn back to the principles that made us strong, and if we'll turn back to prayer and ask God to help us, and give us the wisdom and the discernment to turn back, we'll make it. We can bring this back. Let's discipline ourselves now. Stop spending.
All right, fine.
It'll take some time, but stop where we are, turn back, and recreate the economy that makes us strong again.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly agree that part about prayer is very important. I believe we have to certainly cut the taxation. But the difficulty we have certainly is that recently the Democrats refused even to have a legislation to maintain the Bush tax cuts. And certainly if we increase the taxes in January, as certainly will happen, if they do not get something through, this will simply be one more coffin in the nail, or one more nail in the coffin of our economy. But let me ask you some things. Where do you stand on the war on terrorism? Where do you stand on the war in Afghanistan? This is an expensive war, but don't we have to defend ourselves against terrorism?
We do. We have to be a strong people. We have to have a strong defense. We have to have a strong military. We cannot sit back and wait for those to come after us. The best defense is an offense. And when someone is coming after us, we go after them first.
But there's only about 100 members of Al-Qaeda in all of Afghanistan. Why do we need 200,000 men to counter them?
You know, I don't know yet, wouldn't I?
All right, fine. Well, basically, the war on terrorism. If you go into the background of the war on terrorism, we carry a book. I'll be glad to send you a copy called The Devil's Game. Al-Qaeda was financed by the CIA. If there was really a terrorist threat, as they're trying to convince us today, they would have sealed the southern border on September 12, 2001. They know that there's no terrorist threat. We have 200,000 men in Afghanistan fighting, by the president's own admission, 100 members of Al-Qaeda who are plotting against us, and that's why we need 200,000 men there, 100,000, 90,000 troops, over 100,000 contractors. Something's wrong with that story, Cam, and you've got to have the facts there, and you've got to bring that out. Why are we fighting in Afghanistan when there are only probably less than 100, according to, Leon Panetta, and I ran against him for Congress in 1988, Leon Panetta says only about 50 to 100 members of Al-Qaeda, and we got 200,000 men there. I think that would be a great place to save money, don't you?
I do.
Okay, I'm not trying to give you a bad time, Cam, because I agree with what you say, but you have to understand that why did we go to war in Iraq? I mean, when they went to war in Iraq, the people there had a good society. I mean, they had water, they had electricity. Today, if they get 2 hours of electricity a day in the nation's capital in Baghdad, why they consider themselves fortunate? There's no water. In fact, last night's 60 Minutes showed, one of the places, three or four stories in Baghdad, no lights there in the house, no water, they have to carry it up in pails. They didn't have that before we went in to rescue the people from the wicked Saddam Hussein. They had an organized society, and we've taken an organized society and created chaos, and now we're simply going to pull out and, of course, leave them to their own devices. At least that's what they say. I mean, the central government's got all sorts of money from the oil, but they're not spending it to develop the grid. They're not spending it to restore services. I don't know what they're doing with the money. We've invested countless billions of dollars over there, and nobody even knows where the money's gone.
Yeah. We are and should not be kingmakers. We should not be attempting to create or make other nations in our image. We have an interest in protecting our nation and standing up for responsibly for our own people and what we have, and And we need a strong military and a strong military presence, and we should not be afraid to go wherever that requires us to go. But we are not, to be in a place of building other people's nations and setting up other people's governments. It is an individual responsibility of nations.
Well, do you think that we should go around the world conquering nations? I mean, there's no reason in the world why we should have conquered Iraq.
No.
There is no reason in the world why we should have conquered Afghanistan, because we let Osama bin Laden escape into Pakistan, and then, of course, we've been in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, for almost 9 years looking for Osama bin Laden who's living in Pakistan. That doesn't make any sense. Why are we in Afghanistan today?
It's not our place to be invading other nations.
And that's the thing, I think that's such a strong point. I think that would ring with a lot of the Democrats over there. Believe me, I've been at this game for 48 years, and it took me a long time. I was a supporter of the Vietnam War. How foolish I was, you know, in one of my young days. I thought we were fighting communism all the time. We were financing it, just like today. Where does Al-Qaeda and Taliban get their money from? Why, they get it from the Pakistani ISI, and who finances them? The CIA. Best enemies money could buy. If you didn't have an enemy, how could you have a war? People will accept the truth if they told it. The same thing happened in Vietnam. How could the greatest nation in the world, the United States, having lost to a country the size of the state of Mississippi, how could we have lost that war unless we intended to lose the war? And all those boys and Vietnamese who died, what did they die for? The Gulf of Tonkin was a lie. People have to start thinking about what's going on, Cam. Well, anyway, what are we going to do with Social Security and Medicare? I mean, they're bankrupt. How can we possibly remedy that? These are the challenges that you would have if you were the United States Senator. What's the solution?
Part of the solution for Social Security is to work with the private sector and come back to work with investments and let the younger people control the investments in that system.
But we've got 58 million people on Social Security now, and we're going to have another 72 to 75 million within the next 20 years on Social Security. I mean, it doesn't have any trust fund. They've stolen the money. What are we going to do? Private enterprise can't break out something. This is something we promised the people. We're going to give you Social Security. We're going to give you a pension. They don't have the money. They've been lying all these years. They've been lying about the trust fund. What can we possibly do today? People don't want to give up their Social Security. People feel they're entitled to it. But are they entitled to it under the Constitution? Is it the function of the federal government to provide for people from the cradle to the grave? I thought that if there was any welfare, this should be done at the local level, not at the national level. Or do you think that it is the function of the federal government to provide for the people?
I agree with what you just say, that we should be at the lowest possible level. We should be working, again, in the private sector and with families and churches. But we do have... We have the commitments we've made, and we need to find the means to meet those commitments within our capabilities.
But within 20 years, 80% of every dollar that's paid in taxes will go to fund Social Security and Medicare within 20 years. How can we possibly exist as a society? We'd have to be no money for the military, no money for unemployment, no money for anything. 80% of everything that would come in would have to be going into the Social Security system and Medicare system. We're talking about 20 years from now. What's going to happen?
Just with our debt, with the interest on the debt. We're driving ourselves under on all of these levels.
Is there any solution that you can think of? We're going to be back here in just a moment with Cam Cavasso, and basically he's absolutely right. We need to get the private sector employed, but how are we going to meet the obligation? Or we're going to have to admit it's all been a fraud. Cam, I know you said that you
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver.
Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Security. What is his position on Medicare or Social Security? Have you had an opportunity to debate him at all?
We have not. Their greatest ally is ignorance and silence.
But what you have got to do is attack him for refusing to discuss the issues. Why is he afraid to discuss the issues? You've got to be passing out the flyers and simply say, why is he afraid to discuss the issues? And then accuse him of what he's done. And obviously he's part of the program that has got us into a bankrupt system. And he's going to betray the elderly. And he obviously, if he voted for the Obama health care bill, it's all about rationing access to health care. How are you getting your message out, Cam?
We're getting our message out by email, by web, by Facebook, by internet means, some television, but our funding is limited, and so we're limited to the most modern word of mouth, person-to-person communication we have, and that's through Facebook and web, and we're asking people to go to our Facebook, camcavassa.com.
All right. Now, basically, what's happening as far as the the Republicans? Are there very many Republicans over there? Is this predominantly a Democratic state?
Hawaii has historically been a Democratic state for the last 50 years. We have a Republican governor recently, and we have our first Republican congressperson. We have two congresspeople in Hawaii, and one of them is Republican for the first time in, I think it's been 25 years.
Well, then obviously you do at least have a base to work from.
That's right, we do.
And basically,
one of the things about Hawaii that's fortunate is to understand how small the state is. There are only 1.3 million people in the island, and of those, only 450,000 vote. So it takes 50% plus one to win an election in Hawaii statewide. So the U.S. Senate race can be won with 225,000 votes. There are more than that many conservatives in Hawaii. There are 600,000 conservatives in Hawaii.
Then you've got to reach them, and you've got to come out there
with
a message on the war. You've got to let them know how you feel about this war. I mean, getting into the war, and your opponent voted to get you into the war. We need to defend our country. But are we defending our country when we have 720 military bases throughout the world, when we have our troops stationed in 130 nations? This is an empire, and your opponent has been supporting the American empire, and this is all about globalism. The reason that we are losing our jobs, the reason we have our economy, is because this is a globalist agenda. There is a plan to bring about a one-world government. And that's why we don't have any tariffs. That's why we've lost 8 million jobs. That's why we're outsourcing our jobs. This is why we're outsourcing our jobs and offshoring our manufacturing.
I mean, talking about a one-world government.
It's about a one-world government. That's what everything going on is.
And again, the opponent that I'm running against, Inouye, is an internationalist and sharing Obama's recognition of UN law over Hawaii or over United States law. I believe that we are a sovereign nation, and that's where we should stay. And our Constitution is for our people and should be interpreted for us and our fate, our base, not international law, not what the United Nations says, and not from outside. We should be Americans defending Americans and running an American system of government and liberty.
And that is what Americans want to hear. And you've got to attack your opponent as an internationalist, as a globalist who's going along with this whole United Nations program to control the lives of the American people, and also the fact that there is an organized effort to lower our living standards. It's all written out in the Earth Charter. Basically, the Earth Charter is the grand plan for everything going on. It's written by the nephew of Nelson Rockefeller. It is being implemented in America, and it calls for equitable distribution of wealth between nations, and they're intentionally sending our wealth overseas. This is what it's all about. I mean, here we have to borrow money every single day, and of course we're still giving foreign aid to other countries. Does that make sense?
It sure does not.
And then you've got to reach our people over there. If you've got a conservative base in the Hawaiian Islands, then you need to reach those people with a message, because what you had said, you know, about our Constitution and getting back to those values is what people want to hear. And now, are you having an opportunity to do any television over there?
If we have contributions to come in from across the nation, we will and can. We've done two weeks of television, and it had a great effect.
Yeah, well, you actually just called the television station, say you have you'd like to call a press conference, or you have a position on something, and that's a very effective means.
I give you an example. Today, we heard from one of the local television networks saying that no, they refused to cover the U.S. Senate race as far as they're concerned. If they've received instructions not to cover it.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Okay, we were just saying that the Republican, the local television station said they were told not to cover this election, not to cover
that, That's right.
Well, you know, that's so reminiscent of when I ran for Congress, and I won the Republican primary, so I could challenge Leon Panetta back in 1988. And suddenly the reporter who was covering politics went to the editor of the local newspaper and said, aren't you going to cover the fact that Dr. Monteith won the Republican primary? And he said, of course not. I mean, this is freedom of the press. When you have the press and you own the television, you have the freedom to suppress whatever information you want to.
And that's all right, and understand that. And so I understand that the solution is to break through that on our own and use the freedom and the help of people across this nation.
And
what you put that in front of the people.
What you need to do, Cam, is get out, and you've got to walk precincts. You've got to walk the precincts. It's a rotten job. It's hard to do. And get other people to walk the precincts, but you've got to be out there going door to door to door, knocking on doors, telling people who you are, and the fact that the television stations have been told not to tell the truth. People know that they're not getting the truth in the media, and you've got to hammer that home. That they do not want opposition. They want a one-party system, and not to believe a thing on television. You need to get that message out, because once people understand the media's control...
We do, and the greatest ally of those which are in power is ignorance and darkness. And if we can bring the facts and the knowledge out into the open where people can make a knowledgeable choice based on those facts, we will win this election. And I trust that we will win this election, and with your help and others who are interested in getting the truth out before the people, we'll make it happen. And I might add that any contributions from $1 to $10, the $50 would be of great help. If they can come in with $100,000, we can actually blanket the state of Hawaii's television networks with the media that we need to get the point out. Hawaii is a very small place, much smaller than Los Angeles or cities across the United States with a limited...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Cam Cavasso. He's the Republican candidate for the United States Senate in the islands of Hawaii. And, of course, the Republican Party, as you would expect, would not cover him because he's a Tea Party candidate. He's a Christian. He's pro-life. And that's not the sort of candidate they want. So he's got a real problem. The television stations over there will not even cover the election, and so they're having to go onto the internet. And of course, Cam, I want you to go ahead and get out your address. I want you to get out your tell people how they can get in touch with you and how they can send you contributions if they would like to support you, because you have an opportunity to get a Senate seat with 200,000 votes and for a relatively small amount of money if you can get your message out. How can people reach you and help you?
Our address is www.cam, Cavasso, C-A-V, like Victor, A-S-S-O.com. You can go on our website and contribute electronically just by simply clicking on the red band at the head of our website which says donate. And any amount will be greatly appreciated and helpful at this time. We've got 4 weeks left in this election. The absentee voting actually begins in 3 weeks. So if we can begin to put television on over the next 4 weeks, we can win this race. And one senator from Hawaii is equal to the other 100 senators across the nation. And from this small state, we have the opportunity to swing an awesome victory, a victory which can shock the nation and shock the world, and defeat the head of the Appropriations Committee, the longest sitting member of the United States Senate, in this election in Hawaii with a campaign of truth, accuracy. And, you know, you talked about life. Yes, I'm pro-life. The contrast between myself and Inouye is that he's actually voted in favor of partial birth abortion. I'm pro-marriage. He's voted in favor of same-sex marriage and against the constitutional marriage and against the Defense of Marriage Act. So these are contrasts that can be painted with the economic contrast and the social contrast. The people of Hawaii, if they have the knowledge, will make the decision to send Cam Cavasso to the United States Senate and defeat Dan Inouye. Again, our address is www.camcavasso.com.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Cam, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But this would be a very, very good investment because, of course, here's an opportunity to get rid of one of the worst senators and suddenly get somebody in who holds the truth that we feel as far as moral necessity and, of course, of trying to balance the budget. But the problem is that we have all of this spending, Cam, and the big problem is it's all unconstitutional. We have a constitution, and they constantly violating the constitution. You talk about a balanced budget amendment. We have laws that say they have to balance the budget. They totally ignore them. There are laws against taking money from one trust fund and putting it into another, as they did, of course, with the Social Security Trust Fund and the Medicare Trust Fund. They take money out of the Highway Trust Fund. They violate the laws all the time back there in Washington, D.C., and nobody ever holds them responsible for violating their oath of office and violating the Constitution.
It's time to get back to where the folks in Congress and the Senate observe the same laws the rest of this nation observes, and that we observe the same truths the rest of the nation is expected to serve, and that we honor and obey the Constitution. And such things as earmarks or our pork are destructive to our nation. They break down our value system. They cause compromise. And again, we need to get back to where we obey the laws, where we do things and all in the light, where everyone can see what's going on, and stop the secrecy that's driving us into destruction.
Well, certainly we have a tremendous amount of money that's going out for the Department of Education. What's your solution to the problem of education today?
First, abolish the federal Department of Education. The federal government should have no part in our education. That should be handled at the lowest level in our states and communities. The responsibility for education should be handled in the individual states and counties. Parents need to be involved, and we need the liberty and the freedom again to establish a competitive system of education that allows for public and private and homeschool education systems to prosper, for us to get back to the strong education system we once had. And you know, in Hawaii itself, Hawaii was once the most literate nation in the world when we had an education system that emphasized values and independence and responsibility, and not teacher or government control. So let us get back to the lowest level of education and return to the strong education that made our nation strong in the beginning. Away from government control, away from union control, and back into the hands of families and parents, and at the lowest level, so that we can see what our people need.
Well, basically, of course, education is controlled by the NEA, the National Education Association. They are basically dedicated to globalism and socialism. Our children know far more about sex than they do about Shakespeare. They know far more about pornography than they do about poetry. We do not teach them how to read. You could not do such a poor job unintentionally. And basically, you have to point out there are people who wanted to destroy this nation, and they're doing a good job by not teaching our children about the Constitution. What is the very function of government? Why do we have government? What is the function of the national government? What is the function of the national government?
The function of national government is to defend its people, to defend its environment, to protect its people, and to protect its environment.
Well, you mean, but basically, then you think that the function of the federal government to defend the environment?
I do.
Where in the Constitution does it give the government anything to do with the environment? Certainly, we have Section 8, Article 1 of the Constitution that lists what the government to do. Where there do we defend the environment?
Your point is well taken. When I say when I say defend, I mean to protect where we live and who we are. To the responsibility of government is to protect its people, to protect where we live and who we are, and that means that we live in a place where we're safe, where enemies cannot come against us, where we are protecting our rights, where we live, who we are, from enemies from within and enemies from without.
Well, how do you feel about illegal immigration, the problem we have here in the States? I don't know whether you're having the problem there, but we're certainly having the problem here in California. And I think that this is the problem, but many people feel very strongly about. Is this a problem there in Hawaii, illegal immigration?
Not really. Not to my knowledge.
Okay, so this is not an issue that would be of primary importance to people there.
It's not.
What are the other issues? Certainly, I've mentioned education. I think this is an important, and I agree with you. We have to return to the local level, but we have to understand there's an organized effort to dumb down our children through the National Educational Association. They have an agenda. How do you feel about the fact that there are people who want globalism? They're globalists. They believe in global governance. What's your position on global governance?
My position on global government is that there is no place for it in the United States, that we are an independent and sovereign nation, and that is the way the nations of the world should remain. I am opposed to globalization. I am opposed to the subjugation of American government to international law or international standards. We are people that value our freedoms and our liberties, and we should continue to defend those within our Constitution. There is no place for globalization.
How can we get our economy going again? What needs to be done to stimulate our economy?
Interesting. I have no problem with trade, international trade and global trade, and import and exportation. So we need to unburden our peoples. We need to unburden the creativity of our people. The taxes need to be reduced on business and individuals. There is an issue that relates to that. The Jones Act in Hawaii is an effort by the federal government to control transportation costs between Hawaii and the mainland. And they force the use of American shipping only, which adds about 50% more cost to the shipping in Hawaii and the cost of goods in Hawaii that would be saved if we would allow competition in shipping again. Government controls are causing a huge cost in Hawaii. On the education side, you asked about globalization and the quality of education. The quality of education in Hawaii is one of the poorest in the nation because Hawaii has become one of the most government-controlled educational systems in the United States. Return the education system back to the lowest level. Return it to the people. Get the government out of it and get the NEA out of it.
I certainly can agree with that. How do you feel about tariffs? That's a tough question.
Maybe a tough question, but I disagree with the concept of tariffs and government control. Again, I support the free enterprise system. If another nation is artificially producing goods at well below their real cost and trying to ship them into our country to undermine our businesses and undermine our country, then I believe there's a place for our restrictions on those imports of items or things that or products that are designed to destroy the freedom or the sovereignty of the United States.
How can an American worker making $25 to $30 an hour compete with a Chinese worker who is making $1 an hour? How can an employer, certainly possibly produce in America, where he has to pay, a good wage to an American worker, when, of course, he can move to China and produce there at maybe 1/20th or 1/30th the cost, the labor cost? It would seem to me that there's no way that we can effectively compete with communist China. Certainly today, we've transferred our steel industry, our automotive industry, our electronic industry, certainly our aluminum industry, our automotive industries largely left America. We used to make 18 million cars a year. We'll probably make 10 or 11 million cars this year. We're transferring it overseas because it's so much cheaper. And there's no way we can compete with these other countries because their labor levels are so low. How would you address that issue?
don't have the answer to that one.
Well, basically, the founding fathers of America established tariffs because they wanted our country to be competitive in the world, and we kept those tariffs on for 150 years, and we were a powerhouse. Nobody could compete with us because, of course, we would not let people dump their products on this country. England, of course, went to free trade, and they eventually lost their empire, and we are doing exactly the same thing. Our founding fathers thought the tariffs were good. Sometimes they can be unjust, no question at all. They protect our workers here, but I want to protect America's industries. I want to protect America's laborers, and certainly with a 20% tariff or a 25% tariff, we could compete with anybody in the world. We let other countries put barriers in the way. All of the other countries have barriers against our goods. But we don't do that here because the purpose of our government is to transfer America's wealth overseas. We have a wonderful book. It's called Free Trade Doesn't Work. Free Trade Doesn't Work. It doesn't work. It's designed to destroy this country, and it's about time we had people understand these things. And I realize that if you haven't studied these things as long as I have, they're pretty hard to think them through. But the libertarians say, oh, we should not have any tariffs. Well, our founding fathers believed in liberty, but they believed also in protecting America. That's why we need tariffs. And they said they should be imposed because there's no way we can compete with countries throughout the world. This is why we have our massive trade deficits. And we let the Chinese put barriers on our goods going in. And we let the Japanese put barriers on our goods going in. And if you are in South Korea and you buy an American car, you will automatically get an income tax audit. Everybody knows that. So people over there don't want to buy American cars because they don't want an income tax audit. And the average American doesn't understand. Our leaders have a different agenda. Anyway, what are your thoughts? We've got about 4 or 5 minutes, and I'm just going to let you go ahead and talk.
Well, I'll acknowledge, Dr. Stanley, that I have much to learn on the area of tariffs and in the area of trade. What I do have is a confidence in our people's ability to be creative, to be inventive, to find ways to make things happen. When they're set free, the American ingenuity supersedes all others. It's proven through history and the most difficult circumstances. So I trust the American people. If we will get the American government off their backs, get the government control off of their backs, and go back to its place of small government serving the people, we have a balance of power because we don't trust government. We have the three branches of government because we don't want anyone to be more powerful, which leads to another comment, and that is that we need judges that read the Constitution and make judgments based on the Constitution. The judges that create their own laws and write their own systems and try to change laws from the bench are wrong for America.
You're absolutely right, but the difficulty is they don't teach the Constitution in law school. These people graduate from law school, and they've never read the Constitution. They've read constitutional law, but they don't understand the Constitution. And the purpose of the Constitution was to limit the power of the federal government. And these ideas like the Welfare Clause or the Commerce Clause are simply vehicles to allow dishonestly to centralize power. Our founding fathers did not want an all-powerful federal government. But there have always been those who want a dictatorship. They're in positions of power now. They're working through both political parties to gain that goal.
And ignorance, yeah, you're absolutely right. And ignorance contributes to their purpose. I absolutely support what you're saying. Get back, study the Constitution, and get back to understand our founding fathers and what is in there. And the principles they fought when they wrote the Constitution. We have forgotten our history, and we must get back to study and understand those values so that the deceptions, the lies, and the misinformation that's being put on our schools and our people in ignorance right now can be brought back. It's said that we would destroy ourselves for lack of knowledge. We need accurate truth back in our peoples, and your comments about study the Constitution are absolutely correct.
In fact, that's we advocate people to take out the course Institute on the Constitution. That's IOTC IOTC online.com. People need to understand the Constitution. How can you defend freedom when you don't know its origin? America is unique in all the countries of the world because of our Constitution. And they never teach it in law school. They don't teach it in universities. They tell us that the government's to provide for the people. A government that can provide for the people must be able to control the people. And that's not freedom.
Well, Dr. Stanley, you're right.
Now, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. Let me just say again. My name is Cam Cavasso. I am running for the United States.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dried Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dried Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dried guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Leaders really aren't interested. They have their own agenda. So if you're interested in helping him, his name is Cam, C-A-M, Cavasso, C-A-V-A-S-S-O. www.camcavasso.com and go to his website, and if you are so inclined, why, give him a hand. We know the people over there that called us and asked if we would have him on tonight. And Cam certainly is coming from a Christian perspective. He is, I think that certainly he hasn't been listening to Radio Liberty, but I know the people over there, some of his supporters do, and that's why they asked us to have him on. His heart's coming from the right place, and I think that anybody would be better than Senator Inouye. So basically, I hope and pray that he will certainly make a difference and that he will be elected. Now, is it possible? Yes, I think all across this country, why there are people running, good people who love America, and many of them, of course, are very well informed, and they're running for governor, they're running for, in the state here in this area, we have Ellie Black, who's running for state assembly, doing a great job. Now, this is, of course, in the area where I live, in the Santa Cruz area. She's never run. She's running for the state assembly, but we've got people suddenly running for governor all across America, running for Congress, running for the Senate. This could be the greatest upset of all time. You out there in the listening audience have to be involved, and you've got to help. The candidates who are good don't support the people just because they're being supported by the Republican Party. Don't give them any money, but give it to the individual candidates who support the ideas that you and I hold dear. And that is, of course, that the power of the central government is to be limited by the chains of the Constitution. For that government governs best, that governs the least. That was the belief of our founding fathers.